So, I've been asked to speak something about stress management through spirituality. So, on one hand there's spirituality, and the other is materiality. In other words, there's two dimensions. There's the spiritual dimension, and there's the material dimension. In our modern day society, we're given a unidimensional vision of reality. We understand only one dimension of reality. And the result is stress, actually a lot of stress. Because we actually want to live forever. Our nature is we want to live forever. We don't want to get sick, we don't want to get old, we don't want to die, but yet in the material dimension, these things are forced upon us unwillingly for being dragged to old age, disease, and death. This is stress. This is an underlying stress. What to speak of the other stresses of my, you know, my job, so many other things we worry about. The underlying stress beneath it all is being dragged to old age, disease, and death. So as long as one continues to have a unidimensional vision of reality, he must necessarily be stressful. He must be. But if one develops a bidimensional vision of reality, he understands that just like the body has two hands, it has two eyes, two nostrils. Reality has two dimensions. It's not a unidimensional reality, it's a bidimensional reality. So as soon as you develop that bidimensional vision of reality, then you're connected with a platform of stresslessness. You see, there's stressfulness, and which is the position of one who has only a unidimensional vision of reality. And there's stresslessness, which is the vision of someone who has a bidimensional vision of reality. So, religion is supposed to be taking us to that platform of spirituality, but religion, unfortunately, has been perverted. It's like now in the ISIS, you see. In the name of religion, they're committing the most abominable sinful activities. Religion has been perverted. They've made religion to something material. They've forgotten that the real meaning of religion is to bring them to the platform of spirituality. So this is the great knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is not presenting a religion. It's possessing the pure essence of all religion, which is spirituality. To realize the bi-dimensional vision of reality. Okay, this material body is here, granted, but I have an identity beyond this material body. Krishna explained this in chapter 2. Dehi nosmin yata dehe. Kumaram jovanam jara tata deham tarapaptir dirastata namhuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So what is this self-realized soul? The Sanskrit word used by Krishna is dhira. There's two calibers of being. There's dhira and adhira. The dhira is the undisturbed person. He has the bi-dimensional vision of reality. And the adhira, you see, one who is not peaceful. He has the unidimensional vision of reality. So the reality is, if you analyze it thoughtfully, scientifically, the reality is you have a sense of identity that you've carried with you throughout your entire life. In other words, you feel you're the same person that you were when you were born X number of years ago. Even though your body is different, the chemicals are all different, you have a sense of identity with that little baby that was born on, you know, such and such day in such and such hospital, you see. So your identity, your sense of identity is actually beyond that material body. In Sanskrit it's called Atma. Your understanding of who you actually are intuitively is beyond your body. That's why when a loved one dies, we say, oh, he passed away.
Mm.
The body is lying there in the funeral home. Everyone is crying. He's passed away. He's gone. You see. So it's very easy to see that the self and the body are two things when somebody dies. But yet in our everyday, day-to-day life, we keep thinking, I'm this body. This is me. I'm an American. I'm male. I'm female. I'm Indian. I'm Gujarati. I'm Punjabi. I'm this and that. This. We continue to identify ourselves with this body, and that is the cause of all the stress that we actually experience in life. So if one comes to the Brahman platform, Dhammabhutta prasannatmana sochati nakankshati, of understanding that I'm not this body, then you become ecstatic, you become joyful. You find your happiness on the spiritual platform. A lot of people say, well, there's no such thing as a spiritual platform. There's no such thing as God. It's just a, you know, everything comes out of nothing. That's what the scientists say now, that everything comes out of nothing. But I ask you, is that science or is that dogma? Science means you can do it, you can back it up with an experimental evidence. So show me the experiment where you can take nothing and get something out of it. But yet the scientists are telling us that everything comes out of nothing. And that we're nothing but robots. We're not really people. We're just machines. That's what the scientists are telling us now. We're just machines. We're not really people. We're not really persons. We appear to be persons. But actually we're not. We're just a bunch of chemicals.
Hmm.
Just a bunch of chemicals, you know, going through reactions. That's all it is. There's not really any people there. So it's ridiculous. It's a blind faith dogma that everything comes out of nothing. But let them give one experiment that you can take something out of nothing, and then we may take them seriously. Until then, we understand that something comes out of something. You get one thing, like this chair I'm sitting on, it comes out of a tree. This arm of the chair comes out of a tree, you see, which came out of its seed, another tree. So we see that things come out of other things that came out of other things. So somewhere there's an original source for existence, you see. You can call that God or the Supreme. In Sanskrit, it's called Adi, the origin. And it is said Adi Purusham. That origin is actually a person. Actually, the origin must be a person. I'll prove it to you. If you have a... If there's a mine from which you're extracting so much gold every day, does the mine have gold in it? Sure. It has to have gold in it. Otherwise, you can't extract gold from a goldless gold mine. So many persons are coming out of the original source, the existential mine of existence. So many persons, I'm a person, you're a person. We all know, we can feel, we understand we're a person. You can understand when you're dealing with another person. We know that. So, we are persons. We come out of an existential mind, and therefore that existential mind must possess personality, otherwise how it can produce personality, personalities. So, if something possesses personality, is it an it, or is it a person? It's a person, not an it. So the origin is a person. And in the Bhagavad, the Vedas tell us, Krishna says, I am that origin. Aham sarvasya prabhava mutak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So, what is the foundation of happiness? What really makes you happy? Is it money? Is it a nice house? Is it a nice car? No, it's love. What actually satisfies us is loving relationships. Even my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he saw some beggar couple in India. They lived very poor lives, some little canvas, piece of canvas on the side of the road. But he saw the husband, the wife was serving the husband very devotedly, and they were, had a happy family life. They were living in great poverty because of that loving relationship. Even though they're beggars, they had a happy life because of that loving relationship. So the real foundation of happiness is to have loving relationships. So the Bhagavad Gita teaches us that if we can have a loving relationship with that original person, that is the perfection of love. It's compared in this way by my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. If you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So if you can love that person who is the root of all existence, then your love goes to everyone perfectly. It goes to your wife, your husband, your kids, your family members, your neighbors, your boss. It goes to all living beings, even the tree out in your backyard. That once you, when you perfect the art of giving your love to the Supreme, then your love goes everywhere. So there's many types of yoga systems. Yoga means the process of self-realization, to link yourself with the divine consciousness. That is yoga. There's hatha yoga through asanas, through pranayama. There's jnana yoga through philosophical speculation. There's different types of yoga. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6, text number 47, yoginam api sarvesham mangatena tadatmana Shadavan Bhajate Yomam Samayuta Tamomata. And of all yogis, the one who worships me with devotion is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all the yogis. So if one is interested in the self-realization, interested in becoming an enlightened being, this bhakti yoga system, which is the whole point of the Bhagavad Gita, is a very, very practical system. It doesn't require you have to go live in the Himalayas, live in like a yogi in some cave somewhere. Like the Kumbh Mela, they come down. You know, there are yogis 300 years old who come down from Kumbh Mela from the Himalayas. 300 year old yogis. You go to Kumbh Mela, you can actually see yogis 300 years old. Doing the, you know, the breathing, the asanas. They slow down their metabolism through this yoga, and they live for centuries. But that process takes many lifetimes to become perfect. But this bhakti yoga system is very simple. This is what Arjuna did. You see. He was a working man. He's a professional man. You see. He had a very big responsibility in the royal family, very responsible man, professional career as a warrior, you see. He wasn't some renunciate sitting around meditating. He was a hardworking man, you see. So he didn't give up that work. He continued to be a hardworking professional career man. But he offered that in the service of Krishna. My dear Lord, now I will do this for you. You want me to do this? All right, I will do it for you. So in this way, in the bhakti yoga system, by dovetailing your consciousness with that Supreme Person, by connecting yourself with that Supreme Person in loving relationship, you actually fully become situated in the bi-dimensional vision of reality. As you take very good care of your body and your bodily needs, you take care of them properly. The bodily needs of your family members, you take care of everything very properly. But at the same time, you understand the higher nature that continues after the demise of this material body. So, how does one attain that state of divine consciousness? That's why we're doing this chanting process. The actual means of how to achieve that state. This is what is recommended by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Satatam kiti yanto mam yatantashta dridhavrataha. He says, always chanting my glories. He's recommending. Satatam means always. Kirtayanto means chanting, and mam about me. So by chanting the holy names of God, you see, one can actually connect with that Supreme Person. One can actually connect himself on that transcendental platform beyond all the anxieties of material existence. This is not a sectarian thing. A Krishna can chant the name of Christ. A Buddhist can chant the name of Buddha. A Muslim can chant the name of Allah. You see, it is a science. It's a scientific principle. It is not a sect of religion. This is spirituality, pure spirituality. You see. In all the scriptures, it is recommended in this age to chant the names of God. The Quran, the Bible, the Vedas, they all say the same thing. To vibrate the holy names of God. And this principle was taught in a very profound way 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the avatar of Krishna who appears in the Kali Yuga in a disguised form. He traveled all over India chanting and dancing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in line of his wonderful teaching, we have our movement, the Hare Krishna movement. It's not a new invention, it's an ancient movement. But it's now become, as far as being worldwide, that's a new innovation. By my the great, profound potency and of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, whose books are over here. We encourage everyone to take a book when you go home. This will be the greatest blessing your family ever had. In fact, one man, he bought a set of these books, and he came back and he told the devotees, you know, my house burned down, but the books weren't. The whole house burned down, but the books weren't touched by the fire. So these books have mystic potency. Not that your house will burn down if you buy the books, we're not saying that. Our house also caught on fire, but and the books weren't hurt. The same thing happened to us. So these books have very special potency. And if you take a book home, actually anyone who takes a book tonight will give you a special written blessing in your book. So the real thing is we desire to be free of anxieties. That's our natural position. We all want to be free of anxiety. But as long as we continue to live as if I am simply this body and that's all there is to me, my family members are just their bodies and that's all there is to them, you see, as long as we live in that kind of a mood, you can't avoid being in anxiety. It's impossible. Because we want to live forever, but this body is mortal. The actual self is immortal, but the body is mortal. So as long as you continue to identify with, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm an American, I'm an Indian, you are putting yourself into stress unnecessarily. So don't put yourself into stress. affirm that I am not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being. According to my karma, I've gotten this particular body, so let me utilize it in such a way that this is my last lifetime in the material world. Krishna says this in the Gita. He says, from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all their places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janma na vidyate, he never takes birth again. So, if one can take instructions from a bona fide spiritual master who represents Krishna perfectly, under his good instructions, under his merciful guidance, if you will follow his teaching, this bona fide spiritual master will train you how this will be your last lifetime in the material world. That's what my spiritual dad did for me. He rescued me from the cycle of birth and death. So now in the Hare Krishna movement, we're prepared to do the same for you. You want to be delivered from the cycle of birth and death? We can do that. You want to be absolutely stress-free in all circumstances? We can teach you. We can take you to that position of consciousness. We can teach you, we can guide you how to achieve that state of complete spiritual perfection, pure happiness, without compromising your material life. Actually, your material life will get better. Because as long as we're stressful about what's going to happen at the end, we can't function to our full capacity, even in the material world. But when you understand your true spiritual identity and you become completely, you realize, hey, I'm death-proof. I'm immortal. You know, I'm deathless. Nothing, death can't touch me. And then you act fearlessly in this world to accomplish great things. In your family life, in your social life, in your community life. Any sphere of activity you enter into, political life. Any sphere you want to enter into, if you realize your spiritual identity is the eternal servant of God, and you mold your life according to the instructions given to you by the bona fide spiritual master, then you become a very powerful hero, actually, and to accomplish great things that benefits yourself, your family members, and the whole human society in the best possible way. So, this formula for stresslessness is very powerful, it's very effective. It's worth millions of dollars, but we're not charging you one paisa for this knowledge. My spiritual master didn't charge me anything. I'm not going to charge you anything either. Give it to you absolutely free. That which is more valuable than all the wealth of the whole material world. We're giving it absolutely free. But there's one price you have to pay. Shraddha, or faith. If you want to actually get the benefit of these teachings, you have to put your faith in what I'm teaching you. You see, I'm not teaching you, it's not my teachings. I'm teaching you the science of Bhagavad Gita, science of Krishna. If you put your faith in the teachings of Krishna, which guided the Indian civilization for thousands and millions of years, all the great sages, the rishis, the yogis throughout the history, they all had faith in the Bhagavad Gita and they followed the Bhagavad Gita. The greatness of India is there. Bhagavad Gita is the greatness of India in one simple book. So if you put your faith in the Bhagavad Gita, as taught by a bona fide spiritual master. Because that's what Krishna says. He says, you have to learn this from the bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidi patipattena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam ganinas tatpadarshina. Right there in chapter 4, in text number 34, he says, you must learn this truth from the spiritual master. Because this is not ordinary knowledge like 1 plus 1 equals 2. This is transcendental knowledge. So to realize transcendental knowledge, you have to learn it from a realized transcendentalist. You can't figure it out by mental speculation. You have to hear it from a realized devotee of the Lord, a self-realized spiritual master. So when you hear it from a self-realized spiritual master, there's great power and great potency that actually unlocks your consciousness. You see, our consciousness is locked up right now within the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. Sattva-gun is the mode of goodness. Rajagun is the mode of passion. Tamagun is the mode of ignorance. So right now, our consciousness is locked up. We're tied up. The Sanskrit word is gunas, modes. It's called gunas. The word guna has a dual meaning. It means modes. It also means ropes. So we're tied up tightly in these ropes, these gunas, passion, goodness, and ignorance. And because of it, we're not able to realize transcendental knowledge. But the spiritual master has a very sharp sword of transcendental knowledge which cuts through these modes. By hearing submissively from the bona fide spiritual master, those words have a very powerful, sharp effect to cut through the modes of material nature that are binding the consciousness and bring one to the transcendental platform of transcendental knowledge. So the key for becoming free from stress is to connect yourself with your true identity on the stressless spiritual platform. And that will give you unlimited happiness and satisfaction. So, I can ask now if there's some questions.